The Startup to Scale Up Game Plan is brought to you by Alpina Search, Europe's premier talent search firm, dedicated to helping technology startups and scale-ups recruit high-impact executives. Now over to your host, Gary Riemann.
I'm delighted to welcome Pietro Bieza, Managing Partner at Connect Ventures, to today's show. Now, Pietro is a tech founder turned venture capitalist. He founded Connect Ventures, an early stage VC fund based out of London, in 2011. And the fund has invested in companies like CityMapper, Typeform, and SecretSales.com. So, Pietro, a very warm welcome.
Good morning. Buongiorno. Thanks, Gary, for having me this morning.
Buongiorno, Pietro. So when we last spoke, you mentioned Typeform, one of your current portfolio companies. You mentioned Typeform as a company you'd invested in, which is now beginning to scale globally. So how did you get involved with Typeform?
Typeform is a good example, I think, of what we like in companies and what we look for when we decide to invest in a founder's team and in a company. So just a bit of story about how we get involved in Typeform. So that was, I found out Typeform organically, in a way, as a consumer of the product, which is something I really love, in a way, and I'm positively biased. So I just received an email with a link from a Poland tech conference who wanted to invite me and Connect to their event. And that there was a small survey at the end. And that was, and I click on the survey and I had this like wow effect, because what popped out in front of my eye was a completely different user interface for a survey. It was not just a long page you scroll with all the questions and you to fill in. It was kind of an animated one question at a time, a kind of experience. And that was kind of an epiphany, even if that survey was not really exciting in terms of content, but for sure was something I've never seen in my life. And so when I scrolled down, I saw Powered by Typeform, and I clicked it and ended up on a Discovering Typeform website. And my first reaction was like, and then I went through other examples of Typeforms that published by the website. And clearly I find out there was in front of something completely different and much more exciting, and in a way that they made survey and form sexy. And then when I saw, wow, that is another San Francisco company for sure. The look and feel, the touch of everything was really looked like one of the best, looks like was at the level of the best San Francisco, Silicon Valley kind of consumer top companies. And then at the end of the website, there was this nice tag and loved, made with love, in Barcelona. And because Connect invests only in European-based company, that was like, wow, this is great. And then, I did a little of research, and I saw that they just raised some money. And so when I reached out, they told me, to the founders, by email, they told me that they were just raised the money. They want to focus on develop the next stage of the company, but to stay in touch. And the investor were two that of the seed round or the small pre-seed round they raised where at the time, this is 2013, back in time, where Christoph Jans and Piotr of RTI Ventures, Christoph Jans is a managing partner at Point Nine Capital. He's an amazing investor, he's a phenomenal board member, and he's also a friend. We were together by the time in the Infogram board. And so I definitely hustled his to Christoph that anytime the company would need more money to let me know. And I did the same with the founders of Typeform. And so after 6 months, there was an occasion, and it just me and my partners at Connect, Bill Erner, we after half an hour, we received the email. We were on a flight to Barcelona, and we had like a lovely dinner with David and Robert, the two co-founders of Typeform. And we explained what was our thesis of design-led company was, and how powerful we thought Typeform was, and it could become over time. And so they decided to let us lead their seed round in spring 2014. By the time Typeform was 12 people, the dog, who is still there, is the mascot of the company. and probably $5,000 in MRR.
An interesting beginning to your involvement with Typeform and the fact that you felt so passionate about their product as a user is an interesting perspective. What drove that decision that now was the time to set up a physical local presence in the States?
There are two reasons. One is it has been always a kind of challenge around Typeform development, and is the fact that that Typeform is based in Barcelona, which is not the first hub where you would like to launch your software as a service company to dominate the world. It could be counterintuitive at the first sight. And so we always have been thinking, okay, it's good to start Barcelona, is especially because the Typeform innovation is around design and is about a design-led company. So in this sense, Barcelona and its ecosystem and the environment of that nurture and favors creativity and collaboration is very good, but probably is not the best place where you want to scale, and you need, like, when it's come to hire 200, 300 engineers, and especially when it's come to find the best executive with experience in software sale. Well, instead, San Francisco has been historically the place to scale a SaaS company, San Francisco or United States in general. What David and Robert have been exceptional in proving that all these challenges were right, but were easy to tackle over time. They found a way to get people coming from the Valley to Barcelona rather than take Barcelona and Typeform to the Valley. And so they will be able to attract phenomenal talent with great experience in SaaS company to move their family to Barcelona to join the Typeform ventures and adventures. And so now, though, they and that has been achieved during the last 2 years, but now probably is the moment with the new product coming out soon and the level of investment that the company is capable to sustain, to open an office in the United States with the goal of evangelize to the developers, and second, to start building up a local sales team for addressing the need of larger customers. I wouldn't say enterprise, because Typeform is not yet an enterprise-level product, but there are a set of customers that might be well-served with a direct approach.
Obviously, there is a lot of talent in San Francisco and in Silicon Valley. There's also huge demand for that talent. You face a lot of competition, if not for your product, if not in your market, certainly in terms of the human resources sphere. And property prices are commonly regarded as the highest on the planet in and around San Francisco. So how did those challenges of securing talent in the face of so much local competition and the cost of setting up in around San Francisco, how did those challenges sit with the leadership team and the investors?
You have to go there when you are strong enough to compete locally with the best talents for the best talent. So we think that now Typeform has reached a level of, as a company, as a brand, they've reached a level where they develop a product that people love, and they also build a company that people want to be associated with. And this is very special. This has to be credit to David and Robert. Also, having raised the Series B led by GA this summer, which was a $35 million round, they now also have the financial resources to invest properly to set up an office and attract people with the right package in the Valley. So I would say it's a combination of being attracting as a company, as a mission, as a purpose for the talent, but also have the financial muscles to compete in terms of compensation in the Valley.
Exciting times for Typeform. Talk about the differences between B2B and B2C ventures. I know that you've invested in both types of startup. How do the scale-up challenges differ for B2B ventures versus B2C startups?
Gary, this is a $1 billion question, I think. I think that my best answer here is that the challenges do not differ whether you are a B2B company or B2C company. I couldn't find a single most huge difference to highlight in a way. My point of view is that the main challenge is about setting the right culture, design, develop, and nurture and improve over time the right culture to scale, and hiring the best talent. These two elements are totally common regardless which kind of business you are. And the reason why company might fail the scale up, again, are very little to do with the business they purchase, if it's B2B or consumer, is they tend more to fail to design the scale phase in a proper way.
So what are those key success factors for designing the scale or designing the scale up in the proper way?
I'm obsessed with culture, because culture is the most scalable strategy that a company can execute when it comes to scale. And when I say culture, is the founder CEO has to have the right mindset. And scaling is scaling up for a high growing startup means most of all, like, increase the size of everything very fast. Probably in a pre-internet, pre-technology era, it would take 50 years from 0 to 100 million for a company to go. And now it can happen in 3-4 years. And so founders, CEO, most of the time are first-time founder, and they need to keep evolving their mindset and the challenge they have to face in an incredible fast pace. And so what they need, really, really need to develop is a perpetual learnability and ability to learn how to lead this company. The best founders execute the scale-up phase is the one that aggressively develop a help-seeking mindset. And so they are able to get themselves, to put them around themselves, the best people for the company, top executives, advisor, board members, investors, stakeholders. And this is really made the difference. And they think then to distribute and to install this continual improvement mindset alongside the organization is the other big factor of success to me.
The culture is crucial, the help-seeking mindset and the perpetual learnability, your newly copyrighted phrase, which I certainly love. All of those are key. And that revolves around the leadership team. When it comes to hiring the next level down, how do they ensure that they are bringing in the right people for the culture as the business evolves, as the business scales?
We all discuss these during the board meetings internally with my partners as a lesson learned in a one-to-one with our founders, is when is the right moment where you transit from hiring, maximizing the criteria on culture fit, to expertise and experience. Because the first, what we always recommend and what we saw as a best practice is as the first 10, 20 people must be higher on purpose fit and culture fit. Because it's your first 10, 20 pirates that's alongside the founder will develop a DNA of the company. It's so, and the beginning is also the first probably 2 years, the company is not even a company, it's more like a product looking for a market fit and for a business model. And so what you really need is people that are very flexible, very versatile, kind of like T-shaped people. They're able to learn and change very quickly. And so what really means that what really is important is they connect with the company's vision and with the founder's culture. One is when you go to the growth scale-up phase, you need to first move faster, and culture fit, it must be not a sufficient condition, but it's just a necessary condition, because you also need to hire for expertise. Because at some point, the challenges of scale up requires people that already done, and they really understand what scaling at speed means and what hypergrowth means. And so this transition is the hardest to me. We start hiring executive that been developed their career in other companies, so they might have different DNA, a different background, and in a way they enrich your existing organization, but also add diversity. So at the beginning, you don't hire by diversity, you hire by contiguity on the culture and the purpose. Going forward, you hire adding diversity and complementarity. And this is easy to say, but it's hard to do. This is a top level leadership team. People come and start, and maybe they spend 10 years. Again, getting back to Typhoon example, they have been hiring the chief position with people coming from Box, from Squarespace, from Atlassian, from PayPal. And they come and say, look, the way we're doing the things that Atlassian were X, Y, Z, right? And so you have to start. And this is super positive because you want this incredible talent bring in this expertise. But in a way, you start shuffling different experience and different DNA and different point of view.
Moving away from challenges of the portfolio company or the portfolio companies, tell us about the next 3 years for you and your roadmap for Connect Ventures.
We are not here just for this fund or the next fund. We like to say we are building for the last job we'll ever have. So we and I tend to think more in terms of the next 10, 15 years, because basically to fulfill our mission and our goal takes time, takes years. We started investing in 2011 and we started in Typhoon in 2013. And so because our mission is to invest in iconic product companies that are able to transform the way the world moves and makes and thinks and works, to build this incredible legendary company takes, of course, a lot of time. And so my horizon is more 10, 15 years. And so I tend to think more in terms like, how can be myself and be helpful for our founders, existing founders and next founders we will back in the better way? How can serve our founders in the best way? So I think that it revolves for me probably around three things. One is try to stay curious as much as possible. When you are a VC, is less about being wrong or right. It's more about keep learning and from the mistakes you made. Like, we know that most of the company we invest, they're not gonna succeed. We will be extremely lucky and good if you have a fund. We have two or three big winners, big companies that became category kings in their domain. And so what you really think we have to develop as an investor, as a board member, is this ability to keep learning, stay curious, and develop a better way to view the world. And the second thing is try to stay engaged. We have 10 years horizon per fund, probably 25, 30 years horizon as a firm founder, but we live the quotidianity. We live the day-by-day emotion and happenings with our founders. And so we have to develop the ability of staying engaged, engage with your portfolio company, stay engaged with the business that invested, stay engaged with all the stakeholders around you, your LPs, your partners, and especially the founders we have decided to back. And for sure, probably the third thing is keep having fun doing this, because I reckon it's probably the best job in the world. It's an incredible privilege to always work with incredibly driven people, I mean, incredibly clever, and always on the edge of the innovation. So you have kind of fun-seeking mindset as well. Otherwise, you not really enjoy the journey.
Well, your passion and enthusiasm is intoxicating. So I'm sure that will resonate with all of the portfolio companies that you've been invested in. We've been talking a lot about scaling and the challenges of the portfolio companies scaling up. But do you as a fund face challenges of your own? So as the number of portfolio companies grows, as the fund grows, do you need to change anything in terms of the culture or structure of the fund so that you can somewhat scale up yourselves?
We work a lot, Sita, Bill, and myself. We work a lot on self-challenging ourselves. We always predicting company to innovate, to challenge everything, to even self-disrupt themselves, and keep developing their product. And so we need to do the same ourselves. And yes, so definitely venture capital doesn't really scale in a way that more company you invest, bigger became your portfolio, and just the board seat or helping founders one after one, is the contrary of the network effect, right? It completely doesn't scale. 10 company investors is 10 board meeting. You add another 10, it became 20. But what scales instead is the network. If you build the network of founders and put them in connection and linked online, offline, and nurture this community of incredible talented people, they are facing pretty much the same challenge at different stage of evolution. This instead scales beautifully and generates a network effect. So the more investment we do, more founders and executives join the network, and the network became more knowledgeable, larger, and richer. For example, we have launched our Connect Ventures Founder Network recently. We felt that was the right moment 6 months ago when we have like 35 companies and 60, 70 founders was the right time to kick off. And it has been for us a phenomenal exercise so far, for us and for our founders. So it, in a way, it liberates us from a lot of repetitive tasks, and the founders get just the best by asking and finding the answers they need into the network.
So the name Connect Ventures seems very pertinent for that approach of connecting the advisory network, connecting founders with one another. It's a philosophy that clearly runs through the whole fund. So thinking about people that would love to receive funding and participate in that network, so entrepreneurs pitching to you, pitching to Connect Ventures for their first funding round, what advice would you give an entrepreneur about pitching to Connect Ventures for funding?
I can tell you, Gary, what I like to see when I meet an entrepreneur. I think a good general advice, but for sure works in a subjective way for me. So first of all, I would recommend to be yourself. So be natural, be authentic. Do not try to manicure too much your user interface, but also be prepared. So of course, you want to see the founder that is looking for his investor partner is fully on his market, his business, his numbers, his data, but in a natural way, right? Without overselling or underselling. The other advice I'm happy to share here is design and think what is your personal story and try to focus on why you as a founder or as a founder team are doing what you're doing. What is the hard problem that you want to solve? What is the purpose of your ventures? Because at Connect, we are a thesis-centric firm. We have a thesis. We think it's a good thing to have a thesis. It filters out a lot of opportunities and helps you to focus on the one that fits your thesis. In a way, it qualifies your lead and helps to build conviction and move fast when you see the right team highly fitting your investment thesis. And part of the thesis for us is find purpose-led founder really connected with a hard problem they want to solve at scale, and determined, obsessed to build a product and a company that people and consumer love. And so for us, understanding the bond, which is what we call also sometimes founder market fit, what is the bond between yourself, your story, and your passion and the solution you want to find out to tackle a specific problem in the market. And typically the best, most exciting stories that I've heard is when you have a unique story that you and only you have, and you have a unique insight or secret for a specific problem in a specific domain, and you are the perfect fit to resolve that. And get back to Typhoon, for example, David and Robert are exceptional designer, really obsessed to design human experience around them. They always tend to create a human bond between how people communicate each other, how people communicate with machine. And so for them, the way user feeling form were not human, was just like not very conversational. And so they decided to build form that were conversational at core. And this level of design for not user experience, but for a human experience has been the common denominator of all the Typhoon history. And I can go on and on an example. So for me, it's really important that you are authentic when you meet us and you have a clear sense of what is your story. And finally, please demo the product. If you don't have the product, demo a prototype, demo, like sketch me something with a pen on the paper. Because at the end, we think the product is the expression of your vision and of your, and of your talent. So for us, using the product and talk about product is worth more than going through 100 pages of deck.
You must come across literally hundreds of potential companies and entrepreneurs to invest in every single year. So since you founded Connect Ventures, which is the company that you really wish you had invested in, the one that got away, and why?
To be frank, and not to boast, but there is not a single one that I try hard, and then it didn't work out, and then became a phenomenal success. Also because when we invest so early that it's very hard to recognize at the beginning that it became a success. So with the hindsight, I would say there is a company I really like the founder and the talent that I've been attracting over time, which is Deliveroo. We might have a chance to invest in the company, but then they raise pretty quickly like an A, even like skipping the seed stage. But Deliveroo is a kind of like iconic consumer product that in a way changes the way at least we order food for sure. And it provides like a beautiful, delighting experience, which builds the brand and builds loyalty over time. So I think is a kind of company that fits well our thesis. That try to tackling a hard problem, like delivering hot meals in 30 minutes is a hard problem. They want to do at scales, like within not only in a part of the town, which was when we met them. They were just serving in East London, but they want to do in the entire world. And they want to do it through a product and a company that people love. So it's a great example. It's a London-based company. I really, really, really like the founder, CEO. So yes, that's probably the kind of company I would like to be part of the journey. Though is a kind of company that also requires liquidity to build up. So it requires an extreme high level of capital to succeed. And so it's not a pure product play. It's also who is the best at fundraising kind of play. And we've tend to not pursue opportunity where the company that is best suited to raise money is the one that win because they will build liquidity better than the other one. We like to invest in company where the best product and the best execution are the two conditions to succeed.
That's really clear that you've got this focus on product and execution and on certain characteristics of the leadership team. So it's a nice focus to have. How do you counter the idea that we often hear these days that venture capitalists are actually too risk averse, tendency to follow the herd, tendency to co-invest with the same partner funds time and time again? How do you counter that particular, shall we say, accusation?
I don't think that good VCs are risk averse. I haven't really experienced this kind of attitude. Good VC knows that fund returns are extremely, they follow a power law distribution. So 1% of the company will generate 99% of the profit. And good VCs know that this is true at fund level, at asset class level, but also at industry level. The best, the category king for every each category probably holds 90% of market share and 95% of the profit. And so being risk averse in VC is basically, it's the only things you not have to do it. You have to really invest when you see in every company where you see the potential to return two or three times the entire fund. So you really have to go after a potential category dominant and category creator proposition. The kind of company we tend to fund, and so the kind of investor that then these companies tend to seek and we and to work with alongside the journey belong to this category. So we don't invest and we adopt, we're not part of the VC part of the world, which is fully respectable, but which is maybe seeking lower risk opportunity with two or three times return. This is a different way to interpret a venture, and it's not the one we do. I'm not really exposed to this kind of dynamics. Well, instead, tending to work with the same partner VC, I don't think is necessarily a bad thing. If you are able and capable and lucky to build a network of downstream and upstream investors that you respect and you work well with and you move fast in making decisions together, I think it's an asset that a good VC has to develop over time And that's what we try to do here at Conventure. That doesn't mean that you have to be open to work with other and develop and always expand and curate your network, but it's probably what makes it's one of the competitive advantage that a venture capital firm and its brand builds over time.
Well, that's been fabulous. Thank you so much for joining me today, Pietro, sharing all those valuable insights for technology entrepreneurs and investors. And I'd like to wish you and the whole team at Connect Ventures many, many years, many decades of success as you go through two or three additional iterations of your fund.
Thanks, Gary. It's been a great pleasure. And thanks for the wishes. And grazie, and enjoy the rest of the week.
This episode of the Startup to Scale Up Game Plan was brought to you by Alpina Search. Head over to www.alpinasearch.com for advice on scaling your technology startup and recruiting high-impact senior talent.